Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them.
Right, so I'm going to kick this off, right? So I'm still chuckling inside a bit, right?
Why?
So this is the first podcast that we've done where you fluffed at the beginning. I didn't laugh this time.
No, you didn't laugh. You're very good at not maintaining eye contact and yourself.
I still have to look away, right? So you completely fluffed that up, that intro just then, for the first time ever.
I think I have made a mess of it before, but not for a long time.
Yeah. It's brilliant. We are human.
Maybe we'll release an outtake series at some point.
Can we release it with a little bit of swearing that may have just occurred?
Well, like, maybe. Yeah.
We're a family-based podcast.
Yeah, well, maybe to maybe if we fire up the old Patreon model that everyone seems to jump on, we can do
for $2.99 a month, you can hear me and Martin
swear at each other. Yeah.
Actually, right, you could do a version when you're working on a Land Rover and the job's not going quite right, because everyone thinks on YouTube, don't they, that when you work on your Land Rover, why are you showing no struggles?
They do, exactly.
Yeah.
They
some of the comments you get is like, yeah, but no struggles.
Nothing
it's not
bad
genuine.
Has happened. Yeah.
It's all in the edit.
I do try and prepare stuff so it goes as smoothly as possible, but sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, but we could launch a Patreon now. $2.99 a month into our direct bank accounts.
Yeah.
Right. Forget the, you know, LRMHQ, and then we'll just swear endlessly.
Well,
I'd love to get paid to swear.
You do, arguably. Rest assured, listeners, we're not going to be hiding behind Patreon just yet.
No, ask us again next month.
The lights are still on for the minute. But I know what you mean. Like, people... I'm doing another video. Hopefully it will be out next Saturday. Depends if I get time to edit it or not, where I do genuinely struggle quite a lot. So keep an eye out for that one. But
well, I'm looking forward to seeing you do any retrim.
That's the one.
Yeah, because I want to see, because I know that job is a absolute pain in the backside.
Yeah, it was all right.
Other people might not struggle, but I found it particularly difficult.
A mixture of the seat being the oldest design that you can get, like, not many share. They have a complete metal, like, steel frame rather than a diaphragm. There's a few differences that made it much more challenging than it should have been. That, coupled with the fact I was working in my shed, which is essentially an oven when the sun beats down on it. It was incredibly hot when
and
I was doing it.
When most of the time we were in it.
Yeah.
Rebuild.
It's one extreme or the other. But, yeah.
I started the day off quite disappointed.
Why?
Well, firstly, I drove to work in my 19, no traffic, no school traffic.
Oh, yes, holidays.
Really, really good. Swung into the car park and saw your 302. I didn't see your 110.
Right,
so where is it?
Yesterday.
Why haven't you driven it to work?
Last night, I thought, I'm going to take the 110 to the office tomorrow. I'm going to give it a good run. And then I got up this morning. I was thinking, oh, yeah, nice sunny morning. Be quite nice to go in the 110. And then I thought, I want to listen to podcasts on the way in, and I can't in the 110 because it doesn't have a radio. And I'm not
even if it did, you wouldn't hear it.
Well, you might, but I'm against putting in like listening to loud stuff on noise cancelling earphones when you're driving, because I think it takes away too much from what's going on outside.
Yeah.
You're not really aware of what's going on. So I thought, well, you know, I'll go in the Freelander. It's got diesel in it. I can listen to my podcasts, and off I went.
And there lies the issue. You arrived before me. You would never have done that in your 110.
No, I wouldn't. I did leave with sufficient time to put up with 50 mile an hour top speed, but didn't need to worry about that in the end, because, absolutely.
Fair enough.
Floated here, but all good fun. So, talking of podcasts, obviously we host this podcast that goes live every single Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the morning. Have you listened to any other podcasts recently that you quite liked?
Yes.
Go on.
I have discovered one, and I'm glad you just segued into that, because I'm trying to remember who the podcaster was.
It was obviously, memorable.
I remember the podcast. It was our friends at Urban Automotive.
Oh, yeah.
Founder of Urban Automotive, Simon Dern. And he reveals all how he started his business.
Right,
and
okay.
The podcast is Road to Success Podcast.
Oh, that's Benedict Fowler, isn't it?
I don't know his name.
Let me have a look.
There's Simon, and there's...
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
He goes around in, I think, a VW Crafter, and there's a studio in the back. Now, the reason why, this was a year ago that podcast came out with that episode.
Right.
But the reason why I enjoyed that is because I was there at the beginning of when Simon Dern started his business, Urban Automotive.
Right.
For those who don't know, it's they've moved so much probably away from Land Rover. Well, no, they haven't moved away from Land Rover. They started their business on the old school Defender.
Yeah.
The business model was, well, if Twisted can put one out for X amount of money, there's a massive margin in it, we can do it as well, but for less.
The clue is in the name as well. It's all very street style modifications.
Yeah, they did adventure editions and things like that. And funny enough, I looked at my Facebook memories and 11 years ago to the day that I was driving in an Urban Automotive, one of their early builds.
Oh, right.
Which I shall show you, because I might actually put this picture up onto my Instagram, actually, to redo it, because I just got onto my Facebook. So, memories, right? 2 years ago today, guess where I was? I was broken down. Yeah.
Steve having a little breakdown, which was obviously pre-podcast. So
yeah, pre-podcast, my 90 broke down. And interestingly, a previous person who has been on this podcast, Ian Bourne from IRB Developments, he diagnosed the issue with that Land Rover from afar, and he was the one with the correct answer.
He was absolutely right.
The overlay loom from the throttle pedal
to the ECU.
To the ECU.
Which we duly replaced and has been fine since.
Absolutely. But anyway, I digress. So,
that Road to Success podcast had some quite interesting people on from various automotive backgrounds. Yeah. I only listen to the car ones. I don't really care about anyone else.
Yeah, no, really, really interesting. And different to the style that we have on this podcast, which is like, a lot of people comment positively. It's really lovely to hear, but we're like two mates talking about Land Rovers.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, we can't stand each other, can we?
No, I hate you.
You hated me last week.
I did.
And I devised a new content plan.
We won't talk about that though, Steve. Yeah. I'm over it now. It's fine. You enjoy your holiday next week. If you need me, I'll be tied to my laptop, putting your dream into reality.
Yeah.
Not that I'm bitter at all. No. Have a lovely week off.
Yeah, I'm going to Whitby, in my Land Rover and camping trailer.
Have a great time.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, no worries.
So that's why we're recording this one a little bit early. So
yeah, we're getting ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah. So, look at that Land Rover from Urban.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, okay. Next to, this was 11 years ago to the day, next to my old Stage 1 look.
Is that a dark purple colour?
No, it's not. It was like a Nara...
No, that's not Nara bronze. That's way too dark.
Nara bronze. It was...
Is it a 90 soft top?
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? They've come a long way from that, because that's actually pretty subtle, isn't it?
Yeah, silver. So, yeah, had sort of wood trim in the back.
For the benefit of the listener, who obviously can't see this picture because we're an audio podcast, it's quite a clean, to be fair, 90 with a sort of, what colour is that? Sand canvas soft
top.
Front bumper with DRLs in it. It's got clear lenses and it's got slightly bigger boost alloys by the looks of it. Actually, quite a tasteful build, I'd say.
I will stick this on Steve_Miller_Automotive Instagram page. That's mine.
Yeah, give me a
follow. I'll put this picture on there, and it's next to a Stage 1 V8, which I did own at the time.
But, very nice.
Yeah, so anyway, that podcast, going back to the podcast,
yeah,
was on how he started his business. And I remember he was doing cars on his driveway, but couldn't sell, didn't have the right image, buying a £40,000 Defender.
Yeah,
from somebody's driveway, albeit probably a very nice driveway. And then he developed into his first unit. Then I met him when he went to his second unit. He used to advertise to the Land Rover Monthly audience in the magazine. And now his place is huge.
Well, like you say, they're doing a lot of new Defender stuff. They're doing G-Wagons and all that.
Yeah, all the Lamborghini...
chintzy
stuff that I'm not into. But I would recommend listening to that episode because I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do listen to that podcast if there's a guest on that interests me. I quite like Smith and Sniff, goes without saying. Johnny Smith and Richard Porter. Richard's a big Land Rover man. Johnny, not so much. But they do two podcasts a week. That's proper dedication. That is. They do a main one and then they do a listener's questions every Friday. Funnily enough, someone emailed and said we should start doing dedicated questions podcasts, but to be honest, we quite like integrating them into the main one and we don't really get enough yet. So if you do have a question, for crying out loud, editorial@lrm.co.uk, send it in, because we really like getting them, don't we?
We really do enjoy them and make us a bit more popular. BMW.
Popular.
Would it be more popular? Thing is, though, we haven't got mass market to talk about. We've got Land Rovers to talk
that's
about.
That's it. I mean, we...
In our defence.
Not that I'm vain or anything, but I do quite like to check out the UK automotive podcast chart, and we often jostle for position with Nineworks, which is a Porsche 911 podcast.
Ah, Lee Sibley.
I couldn't tell you. But
yeah, he was the editor of Total 911 magazine.
Oh, right.
In fact, Alistair Cusick, one of our photographers.
Oh, was, yeah, of course.
He used to do a lot of work for Total 911, which is sadly no longer here. The magazine closed its doors, 3 to 6 months ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
Yeah, which is a shame because it's really good, high production value magazine. So if you're into Porsches, that was a good magazine. But yeah, he does a good podcast.
I'm pretty selective. The trouble is at the moment, obviously, because I'm always driving either my Freelander 2, which I generally use for coming here, or if I'm doing more sort of local stuff or going to an event, then I'll take the Series 3 or the 110. But one out of three cars has the ability to listen to podcasts in, so I have to be quite selective about what I listen to.
Yeah, of course.
So
time is precious.
Yeah, I mean, the Underpowered Hour, Land Rover podcast, based in America/Canada, I believe. Stephen Berris and Ike Goss is an absolutely awesome listen. Definitely check that out.
So do you know what? I haven't listened to one of them for a year.
Oh, Steve. Yeah, they're really, really good. Okay. And they're generally a little bit shorter, so they're easier to fit in on shorter journeys. I really enjoy them.
We often get like people comment that positively, again, the amount of time that these podcasts, but we don't, we always say an hour of chat.
Yeah.
To do with Land Rovers,
give or take.
But do you know what? It's kind of like a natural point in which we run out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
We get to an hour, we don't even look at the time. We naturally come to an end and then it's around the 1 hour stage.
It does sit at about an hour generally, doesn't it?
Yeah.
As always, the thing is with, I mean, podcasts have blown up, haven't they, in recent times, which is why...
Hugely popular now.
When we were sort of talking about it, it was important that we got out before anyone else in the UK did one. And it's, you know, thankfully, you know, it picked up really well. And we're massively grateful to anyone who tunes in and goes back and listens to the old episodes, because it really is lovely. And we love, you know, chatting to people at the events and getting, like I say, your feedback. You, because I'm not on Spotify myself, I always use Apple for my...
So I use Spotify.
Sadly. Music and podcasts. You said there was comments on the Spotify one, which I hadn't seen.
That's weird. Yeah, I didn't realise there was any there, but it's probably high time that we opened a few of them up.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
So on the latest podcast that's out now, Main Music is called, One Day Ago, never missed a podcast, just like a conversation at the pub about Land Rovers with like-minded friends. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? To be honest, it's all we aim to do, because although we have the opportunity on a weekly basis to be a bit more timely, if you like, a bit more on trend, I guess, with current goings on, in the wider Land Rover world, we know from the magazine generally that, to speak very generally, not that many people actually care about the nitty-gritty of what goes on with Land Rover as a company. If you wanted that, you could go on any automotive news website and pick that up.
Yeah,
the enthusiast chat is what we love, and that's what most people we speak to love as well. So that's what we carry on trying to deliver, basically.
Yeah. We are the enthusiasts.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we are. Funnily enough, yesterday I was using a bit of software to cut up the big beer tent special we did at Billing into like shorts to promote on social media and stuff like that. And I looked back over it and thought, there's some really funny moments in that. It was really good fun. I'd love to do something like that again. We must do another live one at some point.
Yeah, no, definitely. I really enjoyed it, actually. Doing a live one at the show was, well, I suppose it, in some ways it was quite difficult. We knew it was being filmed.
Yeah.
We had live guests and it was being recorded for this podcast that goes out on the usual platforms.
Yeah.
And we had the audience in front of us.
Yeah.
In the beer tent. So it's kind of like three lots of, a lot of pressure, really.
A bit more to think about. And it was really, really warm in that tent as really well, wasn't it?
And we hadn't even had a beer at that point. It was only 10:30 in the morning.
Exactly. No, it was good fun, though. But moving on, let's talk about something different. I've noticed recently, and I know it seems to be quite of the moment, to combine a TDV8 Range Rover Sport and a Discovery 3 into a TDV8 Discovery 3. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have. Billing, I think.
So there's quite a few. I mean, this isn't a new idea by any stretch of the imagination. I know in LRO years ago, we featured one of the first ones that was done up in Scotland, I believe it was, which was 3.6 TDV8 that gets pulled out of a Range Rover Sport and then put into a Discovery 3. And what a machine, a V8 diesel Disco 3.
Really,
absolutely
really cool.
Immense. And because the Range Rover Sport and the Discovery 3 chassis are very, very similar, the Sport just has a slightly shorter wheelbase. There's a bit of, there is a bit of work to do, but they're fairly modular. Like, they'll physically drop from one to the other without too much trouble.
Is it like weeks and weeks of work, or is it?
It depends on what facilities you've got, really. If you've got a workshop with a ramp where you can hoik the body off one and then pull the engine out, put the engine aside, and then do the same with the other, and I guess in a DIY capacity, a couple of weeks, you could probably do one.
Do you reckon you could do it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Based on...
Well, build me one, then.
Well, this is it, you see. I've been keeping a little eye on Marketplace.
And no.
You can get... There's a TDV8 Sport up the road. Yes, it's done quite a lot of miles.
How many miles?
230,000 miles.
Well, that's quite hefty.
For £1,400.
Ooh.
With MOT.
Okay.
And then, it's done some work, it's done some miles. But if you think about how much you can get one of them for, say you went, you turned up, you kicked the tyres, you had a chat with the guy, you got it for £1,000, £1,200. You then bought a top spec HSE Discovery 3 with a knackered oil pump or whatever.
Yeah, for about what?
£600, £700.
Oh, it's lower than that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but condition-wise, you want... If it's worth doing, you want one with a really nice interior.
All right, well, let's say £1,200 for that as well.
Okay.
Obviously, you're not going to be paying your own labour because you'd probably do it yourself. You'd probably want to refresh some coolant hoses and things like that along the way that would be old, because they are quite old cars now. A few bits of tidying up. I reckon all in, if you shopped around and you were savvy, I bet £4,000-£4,500 you could do one for.
Yeah, and if you bought that Sport for that kind of money, was that just the engine? Or
no, whole car.
Well, did he break?
Yeah, you could sell the wheels and tyres off it.
You could sell all the bits.
You'd put the Brembo brakes off it on the Discovery.
Your yard would start looking a complete
mess. Oh, don't get me. It would look like a bomb had gone off. But up to that point, getting there, like, what a thing.
Is that what you're thinking, then?
Well, my problem is I wouldn't be able to do it at home because I wouldn't be able to get the body off because I'd have a lift.
Then you had a workshop with a lift.
I have got a workshop with a lift. I share it with two other people and there would not be enough space to do it. But I'd love to do it.
Sounds like a lot of excuses to me.
Well, I thought you wanted your 90 done anyway. You're telling me not to get distracted by other things.
For the purposes of the podcast, when are you coming back round?
Well, you're on holiday, aren't you? You're always going off somewhere.
Hardly.
Gallivanting around the country. You tell me. I've got extra work to do that you've given me. So,
do you know what I found really shocking the other day? The painter... basically chasing me for parts.
Wants to paint things.
Only because he had a bit of a window. He goes, can you bring me some panels tomorrow? This was like 10:30 at night. I was like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I've got more than one place to be,
Got holes to drill yet.
Yeah, we need to get that sorted.
But I don't know, maybe a future project. I think if I had the space, I'd probably buy that Sport and then I'd keep an eye out for a nice spec Disco 3 and then I'd buy that as well and just have it.
Would you daily that then? Would that be your car?
Probably.
If you get like a D3 pre-2006...
Cheap tax model.
cheaper tax. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to.
What a machine that would be. What a machine.
Here's a question then. So, if you built that, you would need to insure it.
Yes.
We were speaking to our sponsors, Adrian Flux, because they like a bit of modified.
They certainly do. I've never had any trouble insuring any of my modified cars with Adrian Flux over the years. They're very helpful.
Yeah, and it's because I'll understand what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, Series 3, for instance, with V8 conversion, they were like, yeah, that's no problem. How many cc's is it? Fine.
Yeah.
But
it's, yeah, and knowing how the insurance system kind of works, because I've had a bit of a tutorial, really, of how they price things, not Adrian Flux, but just generally.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got youth on your side, like me and you haven't, it would be worth speaking to them first and seeing what is feasible, because, I don't know, doing a big expensive conversion and loads of mods to something, they might want to know the get the lay of the land first before you stitch yourself up with a hefty premium. But generally speaking, I've always found them very useful.
There's always a bit of a grey area as well, isn't there, with engineers' reports. Who is the engineer then?
Yeah, I had this with a car I sold recently, not a Land Rover. I took out one engine and put in another engine, exact same architecture but a different capacity.
Yeah.
And a lot of other performance work. And I put it up for sale because I realised I didn't really want it anymore. And the guy I bought it from was making all these... No, sorry, the guy I sold it to was adamant that I'd got an engineer's report for changing the engine. But I was like, well, I undid the mounts and all the fuel pipes and the coolant pipes and I removed the old engine and then I fitted a new engine in the reverse procedure to removing the old one. What is there to report? It's a bolt-out job.
It's a bit of a grey area. So just, yeah, do your research. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Engineer.
Yeah, because they can be a little bit funny about stuff like that. But, I mean, changing the engine number on the and the capacity on the logbook is as easy as sending the V5 off. They don't come around with a magnifying glass and check you've done it properly. But I don't know. Anyway, there's a new issue of Land Rover Monthly sale.
Today?
Today.
Wow.
On Wednesday, as well as this podcast coming out, you've got an even bigger helping of Land Rover goodness coming through your letterbox if you're a subscriber or on the shelf of your local supermarket, newsagent, local shop. Go and grab it. It's really good.
What's in it?
Would you like a little taster?
I should know this.
A little taster.
Yeah, go on then. Sell it to me.
Right, so on the cover, we've got a Defender SVX, but not just any Defender SVX. It's a 110. When did you last see one of them?
I thought they only made 90 SVXs.
Well, Steve, that's a common misconception. Oh, they made 110 station wagon SVX as well. Incredibly rare in this country. But this didn't come from this country. It was re-imported from Hong Kong.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So they have to get rid of them, don't they, after so many miles, so many aged?
I don't know, but this is...
Like the Japanese most... import thing as well. Is that
rust-free... No, I don't believe. Oh, no, there are rules. There's, like, incentives to get older vehicles off the road, but that wasn't really the case with this. It was the guy who was looking to buy one, buy a Land Rover. He wasn't specifically looking for an SVX. Wanted the cleanest, most rust-free example he could find for his money. He looked all around the UK, couldn't find anything he liked. So he's no stranger to importing cars. He's quite a well-known character, well-known chap in motorsport and in drifting especially. Some people who dabbled in those circles over the years might recognise him. And he found this one in warmer climes where obviously they don't salt the roads or anything like that. And he thought, right, I'll ship that over. So he did. And he's gone through it, refurbished what needed doing. And he's put a really cool twist on it. It's really unique Defender. So yeah, be sure to check that out. It's on the cover. Very, very nice too.
So it's quite recognisable then. If you see the cover of LRM, you'll recognise it.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
good.
Yeah. So there you go. 110 SVX. They do exist. And now there's one more in this country.
Nice.
Yeah. Really, really good. As well as, of course, tons of other stuff. We'll carry on the feature of the week segment in future podcasts.
We've got like four podcasts between here and the next issue.
Yes, we have. Yeah. So drip feeding you little teasers. But no.
But then, because everyone's going to rush out and buy the next issue of LRM, they'll know what's in it.
That's true. But we can tell people who might have missed it.
Yeah, of course.
Should we roll into product of the week?
Yeah, well, I found one.
Have you?
Yeah.
This is
I found one this time.
News to me. You go on then. You take the lead with product of the week this week.
Yeah, I've just got to. Yeah. So it's interesting. So it's a compact CB.
Okay.
From our friends at thunderpole.co.uk. I can't believe how cheap CB radios are. Right. So for $64.99, you can buy one of the it's one of the best methods of communicating between vehicles when you're out on trips.
Yeah.
So we used one, didn't we, when we went laning?
We certainly did. Yeah.
Recently.
No need to worry about phone signal.
No, because there wasn't any.
No, there wasn't, no.
And just the communication and from the person that's opening the gates can go, especially on a photo shoot for us. We were like, can you stop there? Back up a little bit. Really, really handy to have. The CB radios that you build into your car, this is the T600, and it has all the features you'll want. 80 UK and EU channels, voice-activated transmission, extension speaker socket, all packed into a 109x26x120mm unit. Supplied as standard with a microphone, bracket, power lead, but you can upgrade to a complete set, including the aerial, for just £99.99.
That's a lot of
that's
kit.
That's a lot of
money,
kit for the
it?
Money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why haven't I got one?
You should have one, really.
All Land Rovers should have the big floppy aerial.
Big whip
on
the
top. Do you get the big whips now?
You can buy them, yeah.
What's the difference between a big whip aerial and the shorter ones? I suppose the range, is it?
I don't know, because you're technically supposed to tune them, aren't you, to different... It's been about 15 years since I had a CB, but I should have one, really.
Did you have a handle?
No.
Okay.
No.
How many candles were you burning when you had a CB?
I don't understand.
Do you not know?
What's the...
You did not grow up in the 80s.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I was
putting
a flicker in my father's eye in the 80s.
Do you know, I remember like that? What's that film? The Pigpen and all that lot.
You on about Convoy or something?
Yeah, Convoy.
No,
Pigpen and
Pepsi Tango.
Yeah,
Coke.
Yeah. How many candles
we've got a 10-4 Good Buddy.
Yeah,
all that nonsense.
I think they should bring that talk back.
Well, maybe you can if you get yourself one of those.
How many candles you burning? How old are you? Are you
really?
Yeah.
Is it? Why
yeah.
would you want to know that on a CV? That's a bit weird.
Well, if you're chatting somebody up,
I mean,
between truckers, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very odd.
Anyway, between Land Rover people.
Wow, this took a turn.
I did grow up before the days of mobile. I never had a CV.
Have you not?
I've
had one in my first, probably, my first three Defenders. I had CBs. Well, at the same CB that I swapped between them.
Yeah.
And I did have the big dopey whip aerial on the gutter mount on the roof of my truck cab, just like swaying beautifully in the breeze.
I kind of want one.
It's a good time.
I've got no need. I say that, but you haven't got a need until you need one.
Are they? I mean, for green laning, they are very, very useful.
Yeah, really good.
They really are. So maybe, you know, when we get some more trips in the diary, you'll have to invest in a Thunder. There you go.
Yeah, thunderbowl.co.uk, $99.99 with the aerial.
What a
lot.
Bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would suit your little 90 as well, actually. You're great.
But it's got the thing for it. It's had a CB in its life.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because it was on one of the estate vehicles. It's still got the thing to hold the...
Has it? Oh,
receiver.
Why haven't you bought one yet?
I don't know.
You should need to fill that gap.
Yeah, I wanted a wireless first.
Yeah, you still haven't got to that bit yet, to be fair. Oh, dear.
I need to put a front prop on it first.
Front prop?
Yeah.
Oh, your front prop's a bit weird, isn't it? Because on the back prop, you've got both grease nipples and the UJs, and on the front one, you've had quite a lot of prop shaft-related action recently, haven't you? Because your project needs a new one. We spoke about that last week.
Yeah, so I fitted the back one, and I don't know if I've said this last week.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you painted it, and the slider is locked up tighter than that.
Degreased it, painted it beautifully, really lovely, and I didn't realise the slider was all there. Locked up.
An absolute lesson in futility.
So it's now in a scrapyard in the sky.
Never mind, eh?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think you should get another CB. And you can
well, get my first one.
Can chat up fellow truckers. Dear.
Oh, yeah. So,
going back to Land Rovers for a minute then. We were talking about the other day celebrities and how they either nail having a Land Rover and make them look really cool, or they go the other way and make them look absolutely terrible.
I think the most terrible celebrity Land Rover ever, because I'm focused on the negative, is Katie Price.
She has had some absolute shockers over the years, hasn't she?
Right, pink Range Rovers.
Which never age well.
In fact, let's just mention them. Urban Automotive, built before she went bankrupt for the umpteenth time and lost her licence for goodness knows what. Urban Automotive built her last pink Range Rover.
Oh, really?
And they did it at cost. probably given some secrets away here, but they did it at cost to her because they knew she was going to
put that brand
in the...
Oh, really?
In the press, yeah. She'd park on double yellows, get done for something, and Urban Automotive, Urban will have their brands.
Smashing the thing up a curb.
Yeah, yeah, all of that, yeah. Wow. Picking Harvey up.
There you go. I mean, there's...
What a day. Don't get the Harvey meme in there.
What a legend. Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the worst looking ones, I would say.
I would agree with you. And actually, someone, I won't say where, but someone not that far from where I live has got an Evoque in pink. In like, not a classy pink, it's in like pink. And it is just...
Well, like Barbie pink.
I just shake my head in despair.
Barbie, like Barbie
sort
pink.
Of, yeah. It's almost like shiny pink, but...
Ooh. Hopefully, you don't know who they are? They're famous?
I don't know.
I thought we were talking about famous people.
We were, but I couldn't not mention the pink Evoque, which haunts my dreams. I really hope it's just a wrap and they can get rid of it. But I think celebrity Land Rovers all started with celebrity chefs.
Okay.
Because years and years ago, Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall off of River Cottage, off of Cooking on the Telly, he used to tool around in a Defender, didn't he? Like a standard Defender.
Oh, yeah. I think he's been in LRM years ago.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, oh, okay. I'm sure that's been a feature in LRM.
That would make sense.
We could probably look it up on Exact Editions, which has all the archive stuff.
Searchable, no less.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you fancy looking back on some retro LRM, head to Exact Editions and sign up.
Sign up, and then you can type with searchable content. So if you're looking to do a job in a Land Rover or this exact story, probably better search it on there.
Yeah.
Have a look later.
Yeah, sounds good.
Mm.
But no, I believe he was probably one of the pioneers in celebrity chefs owning them. Because then Gordon Ramsay's got Defenders, hasn't he? Quite commonly seen knocking about in a Defender.
Yeah, I've seen him drive Discovery 5 as well.
Oh, really? Mm. I've not seen that. I've definitely seen
HSE
Defenders.
One. Nice one. Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine, like, whenever you see that type of programme on telly, like your mate Ben Fogle, he knocks around in Land Rovers, doesn't he?
Don't know what he's saying, my mate. I mean,
I thought you were pals.
Boris the Defender, that's his mate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know Ben Fogle, but he's always a. But I think that adventure and that kind of. It's an adventurous car.
It's all very British as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's nice to be seen to be British when you're in a, you know, doing things in the English countryside, and fits in well, I guess, with a TV aesthetic.
He kind of does, isn't it? Like people like David Beckham, you know, he could probably drive any car he wants, but he loves series. What he's got?
Yeah, he's got Series 3, hasn't he? With the wheel arch spats on, which divides opinion.
Yeah, I'm not a wheel arch spat on a series type of trap.
Someone, myself. No, personally, I'm not either. But you know,
depends on the wheels. If the wheels are still standard and not in line with the wheel arches, they look really...
Oh, yeah, hideous.
Ooh.
But no, he sort of started that. And then I believe someone built a replica of that pretty much to a T with the soft top, with the wheel arch spats. And it sold for some obscene amount of money just because it looked vaguely like the one he had. But there you go.
So you could do with yours.
No. One thing that does stick in my mind, Noel Edmonds used to have a really cool... I believe it was Monte Carlo Blue P38 Range Rover, but it was one like a very limited run model which had like a built-in office in the back. It was like late 90s, early 2000s, so it had like the car phone and a big like comfy captain's chair and like a table. It was really cool. It was in LRO. I remember it being featured very well when the next owner bought it. Yeah, it was like absolutely bristling with technology, which I'd imagine is either a nightmare to keep working in this day and age because, you know, all the solder joints go dry in the electronics. It
wouldn't be great.
But in its time, like, a really, really expensive car and seriously, like, yeah.
Quite cool of its day.
Top of the line.
Generally one of the worst celebrity.
I can see it on your face.
Why are you laughing? Have I given, like, my face? We many, many years ago, before he was... I don't know why he wasn't found out, because clearly, but Jimmy Savile.
Yes.
He had a Range Rover.
A white Range Rover Classic, I believe.
Yeah, it was a white Range Rover Classic, and it had a bed in the back and a sink.
Oh.
He was featured in this very magazine. I think bad time. Somebody bought it because it was ex Jimmy Savile.
At the time, yeah,
that yeah, at the time it was quite a thing, quite a thing, yeah,
to have. But
imagine, I don't know who bought it. I know who sold it.
Hopefully, it's been crushed now.
I think it probably has.
Yeah, it's the best thing for it. I know his old house up in the Highlands, Scotland. I think it's near Glencoe. Actually,
it has been knocked down, hasn't it?
It was heavily vandalised.
Let's change the subject.
Yeah, let's do that. We're going down a dark path.
We are going, but these are like celebrities. I mean, that's probably a little bit worse than Katie Price's pink one.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's comparable, Steve, to be honest. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, she hasn't got brilliant taste in cars, but compared to Jim's. Oh, please don't sue us. Yeah. But no,
what did we have for lunch? It's like we've been to the pubs.
Let's engage Diflock and go in a different direction. Vinnie Jones, he's got Land Rovers. We featured his. He was
very
on the cover.
Tastefully done, Land Rovers.
He likes a bit of shooting. He likes a bit of country sports. Does Vinnie Jones? I believe Squire Editions have done his actually.
Yeah, I think he went to the game fair recently. I noticed he was advertising the fact that he was going to go to the game fair in his Land Rover, like, oh, all right then.
Yeah, as I'm sure many other people did. But no, he has got a good eye for him, and he's
yeah,
a very, very nice blend of upmarket feel, but also functional.
Definitely for him. Definitely do. But you can see that, you know, he's a movie star, an ex-football, etc. But his real love is the countryside.
Yeah.
And everything to do with living and... Yeah, appreciating it.
Definitely. Yeah, he did Crafty Countryman, I think. Was it Crafty Countryman? Something like that. He did a really nice series of YouTube videos.
Oh, okay.
Well worth checking out about his farm and that sort of what he does.
He just plants a lot of trees and does a bit of shooting.
But you can tell he loves it, and you can tell he loves Land Rovers.
Genuine, yeah.
Well into it, isn't he?
You know your 4x4. You've chosen every upgrade, every bolt-on with purpose. So when it comes to tyres, chunkier, wider, more capable for the conditions, you want the perfect fit. Not just any tyre, your tyre. That's why you'll choose 4x4tyres.co.uk, the wheel and tyre specialists, trusted by Land Rover owners and serious off-roaders alike. Whether you're upsizing, overlanding, making your Defender look the part, or your Discovery turn heads, we'll guide you to the right set. With over 800 fitting locations across the UK, from online to on-road, we've got you covered. Browse by vehicle, wheel size or brand. 4x4tyres.co.uk. The right fit, the right place, the right price.
What about musicians? There's got to be some.
Well, we've always mentioned Bryan Adams.
We do, with his eight spoke.
Eight spokes and his 100-inch special. Musicians. Hmm.
Oh, well, of course, Land Rover. They're quite on the rapper game at the moment. The latest sort of marketing angle they're taking is to get, like, rappers from London talking about New Defender. I couldn't name any of them because that is not my area of expertise.
All the rappers name one. Eminem. There you go.
Yeah. We can't talk about that yet, can we? We've got
what?
We can't. We've got an exciting announcement to make, but we can't make it yet.
It's so exciting! I've got absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we're talking about music.
Music.
All right. Well, we'll move on because Steve's stumped.
Yeah. But, I've no idea.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. But keep an eye out. Keep listening to the podcast, and you know, we've got exciting things to talk about later in the year, haven't we, Steve?
Do you know what? It's been a long day.
It's been a long day
because we are recording this towards the end of the working day. I have to say,
yeah. So I need to go home and order a cam belt kit and a water pump for my spare engine that's on the floor.
Well, you're not doing it for the actual engine that you're going to rely on getting you somewhere.
No, because I hope that blows up soon, so I can.
So cruel
Land Rover engine. Do you know what? It'll probably go on forever just to spite me.
But you need to drive it in order for it to blow up.
True. I need to put radio in it. But yes, the 11J that I bought off Richard Hall is currently on the floor of my shed. I've taken the timing cover off it because I wanted to see what the cam belt looked like. The cam belt looks fantastic, but I am still going to replace it because it's probably very old.
Yeah, probably be best.
And it's staring me in the face now, so I'd be stupid not to.
Tell you what I saw the other day.
Go on.
So, because I know he won't listen, he's never even heard of a podcast. So, do you remember before you worked here, I owned a Freelander 1?
Yeah. Was that the Grand Rover one?
No, that was a Discovery one.
Oh, beg your pardon.
I had a Freelander 1.
Right.
Sport edition. 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Slightly lower down one.
Oh, it was lower down because the wheels were bigger. The profile of the tyres was lower.
The Sport had lowered springs from the factory, though.
Did it?
It did. Not much. 30 mil, something like that.
Oh, but it was a Sport, nonetheless.
What colour?
Silver.
Okay.
With an Alcam Tyra.
And they had the cool decals, didn't they? The Sport with the honeycomb stuff on
it. In red. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had one of those. And I sold it to my old mate, Farmer David, who I've mentioned before. Farmer David. He ran it around. He didn't. His son ran it around for quite a bit, really. And it now needs a clutch. So instead of putting a clutch in it, he's just parked it up.
Okay.
And I went down there, 2 weekends ago? And it's in a sorry old state. It's never going to see the road again.
The problem with these is, and you see it all the time on Facebook, when a Freelander TD4 needs a clutch, what it actually needs is a clutch kit, a slave cylinder, which is inside the bell housing, and normally a flywheel, which totally writes the car off.
Which, many years ago, I had done to a Freelander that my old colleague used to own, and they did it in the Novaland. Photographed each step for the magazine.
Right.
And indeed, a dual mass flywheel went in. In fact, they did a solid flywheel conversion to it because it was cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay. I thought solid flywheels for them were reasonably modern, but it must have been a few years ago.
This was 10 years ago.
Really?
At least 10 years ago, yeah.
Oh, wow. Crikey.
So, a solid flywheel, but it did make it run a little bit... A
bit vibratey.
But it probably wasn't worth doing. My old Freelander 1, do you know what he's done, right? This is almost criminal.
Go on.
The bonnet latch apparently gave up the ghost. So instead of buying a new bonnet latch, he's fitted, you know, those like rubber bonnet pins?
Really?
He's fitted them to the outer front wings onto the side of the bonnet.
Like a Caterham 7, like the rubber bungee things that you pull down over the...
Yeah.
That's a bit much, isn't it? I thought you were going to say put bonnet pins on it, like a race car.
No, he's done that. Because he happened to find them in one of his old sheds and was like, why waste good money on a bonnet cable? Just fitted them instead.
That's a bit much, isn't it? That car will probably never see
it. It will never see the road again. It's a shame because that was relatively low mileage, but it's only on about 110,000 miles.
The Freelander Sports, when people get hold of them now, obviously because they, like, for reasons you've just described, the numbers are depleting quite quickly. When people get hold of them who are enthusiasts, they really love them. It's great. And they, you know, there's one that comes to quite a lot of meets and shows near where I live, and it's just a really, really nice car. And they put a lot of time into like a bit of the factory history and like the way the model came about. They're always displaying board like information about it. It's good. It's good to see.
No, it was a good one. It's just a shame. He has got like 20 plus cars down there.
Yeah. You're never gonna keep on top of that. That's the trouble.
Well, he doesn't keep on anything. They just get randomly put into different sheds that all leak.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's always a serial car buyer. It always has been.
Yeah, it is.
But unfortunately,
a slippery slope,
isn't it? Yeah, it's a shame when you don't often see your old cars that you get rid of.
No.
And I went down there after a couple of years, I haven't seen it for 2 years. Like, oh no.
On the flip side to that, I'm sure I mentioned before, but at Gaydon, I saw my old black V8 Discovery.
Oh, you did, yeah.
My K-Reg 200 shape. And the guy who owns it now has done an absolutely splendid job.
Would you buy it back?
100%.
Would you?
It's lovely.
Does he know that?
I think I have commented on one of his Instagram posts saying I would buy this back. Not that I need to be buying anything else at the moment, because I've seriously...
You nearly got sidetracked this week.
I did very nearly get sidetracked this week. Imagine my surprise when I saw a very early A-Reg, 2.25 petrol, 90.
Really? That is really early.
A really early one. Although I was soon set straight on the Stage 2 Register Facebook page saying that actually some old Y-Reg 90s were produced. There's about a few thousand on an A-plate, but I can't remember ever seeing a 90 on an A-plate, so I went... Messaged the guy straight away, like, oh, can I come and have a look? Knowing I haven't got the money to buy it, but I thought, you know, maybe I'll get that and then sell the 110. And then
yeah,
I thought...
You do man maths, don't you, in your head and think...
Realistically, I like 90s, but for the point that I'm at now where I need to move stuff around quite a lot, 110 is so much more useful. And a 2.25 petrol is a lovely, smooth engine, but it's never going to do close to the economy of the diesel. I thought, you know what, I'll be doing a lot of the same work again that I've done to the 110, recommissioning that, you know, brakes, bearings, welding.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, that's a project for someone else. So I behaved myself and didn't buy it.
Years and years ago, I knew a guy with a B-Reg 90, which had a 2.5 petrol.
Oh, it's a light, really nice engine.
He used to run on.
Oh, really?
He used to do a lot of short runs.
Right.
To and from his place of work, which is probably 2 miles each way.
Right.
And of course, choke was out to do the run. And then when it got a bit anything warmer than 2 miles, it would run on afterwards.
Okay.
They did a proper decoke.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was really lovely. I mean, this was, God, I'm going back some years now. In fact, I went out with the guy's daughter and I was about 19 years old.
Right.
I had my old Series 3 at the time. I got on with him because he used to get LRO. He used to buy Land Rover Owner magazine.
Right. Okay.
Obviously, chose the second best magazine in the country at the time, didn't he?
No comment.
But this was back when LRM was probably new out.
Well, it would have been, yeah.
Late 90s. It would have been. So that car would have not been that old then.
No, 10 years old? No,
14 years
old, yeah. I really like the petrols. The 2.5 petrol's a gem. If you ever find a...
Yeah, it was really nice thing.
2.5 petrol engine, they go very well in an early, like say, coil sprung or a series. They're a really nice engine. Mm. Very smooth. Decent bit of power, decent jumping power over the 2.25, and yeah, really, really just a sweet little engine.
Yeah, nice thing.
But no, the lure of the 90, obviously, the 110's great, but the 90's just that little bit more sort of fun, I guess. They're a little bit more nimble, a little bit more, I don't know, a bit cuter.
I still think Land Rover should have built 100 inch.
Yeah, 100%, definitely.
Yeah, because, well, I don't need to explain it really. It's just, I reckon it'll be the perfect.
It's the best wheel, best blend of stability and manoeuvrability. There's a reason that off-roaders were built on a 100-inch wheelbase for years and years and years. It's just awesome. I don't know. I mean, I guess the reason they didn't offer it alongside the 90 and the 110 was because there wouldn't have been a big enough distance, you know, big enough change between the wheelbases.
About 10 inches each one.
Exactly. I think you'll find a
92.9
inch wheelbase.
Isn't it 0.7?
I don't know. But
92.7.
Let's look it up. But yeah.
You should know this.
It would.
Why should we know this?
It would be. If they had done them, even for a couple of years, even when I see like a 100 inch hybrid now, I'm like, oh God, they're so cool.
Do you know my favourite 100-inch Land Rover of all time?
Mark Evans.
Oh.
Because he did a splendid job on that, didn't he?
Yeah, a 4x4 is born that was on the Discovery Channel. He made a DVD series of it. No. What? Go on then. What was it called? What did he name that Land Rover? Had a name?
I actually don't know.
Was it Hillbilly?
I don't know. I watched a few episodes of it. I really, really liked it.
He called it Hillbilly.
And he brought it to a show, didn't he?
I've seen it in the flesh.
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I was it was a gorgeous, like, mid-metallic blue, wasn't it? Silver modulars, all the off-road kit on it. Oh, tubular bumper.
I think I have those DVDs somewhere.
You have to dig them out. I was right, 92.9.
Oh, I think it was 92.7.
2,360 millimetres.
Okay.
So you can stick that in your pipe and smoke.
Yeah, we weren't far out.
No.
You were more accurate. TEW.
Oh, 100%. Nick Dimbleby's hybrid, TEW.
Yeah. That, the various guises that went through.
That thing is an absolute celebrity in its own right.
Yeah, it's white now, isn't it?
I think so.
But I remember when it was built, when it was like, what's that? What's that sort of greyish colour that it used to be? Grey sort of beigey like, colour it was.
I don't know.
Back in the day, oh, unbelievable thing, just beautiful.
I've booked my ticket for CT45, the 45th anniversary of Camel Trophy.
Oh, right.
Big party at Eastner in September.
And how did you go about booking that?
Well, you head to Google CT45 and it will send you to the Camel Trophy Club website. If you're not already a member, you have to sign up to be a member. It's £21, I think, or £20. And then your ticket, you can either go for the day on the Saturday or the Sunday, or you can camp over, which is what I'm hoping to do. And yeah, big bash, people coming from all over the world to celebrate Camel Trophy. And going to be some amazing cars there, some amazing people. I'm going to try and sweet talk Nick Dimbleby into doing a feature on TEW purely for my own amusement. And yeah, it's going to be an awesome weekend.
I think most people would be interested in the latest TEW update.
100%.
I would.
I don't care if they...
Do you know you said about 100% about three times in the last 3 minutes?
Because I'm 100% certain that...
Just everyone's going to pick up on it every time you say 100% now.
New drinking game for the LRM podcast. Take a sip of tea every time you hear.
I'm 6 pints in now.
Sorry.
Because of your...
I'll stop. But you're going to an event as well, aren't you?
Yes. So this is going out on the 3 days before York Land Rover Show.
There you go.
So you'll listen to this on the Wednesday, I will be in sunny Whitby. That's where I'm going. Back to my...
Oh, yeah, because you're off. You've got a week off, haven't you?
Yeah, not logging it in. But I am leaving holiday early to travel from Whitby down to the York Land Rover Show, which I've not been to before.
You'll love it.
So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a charity event.
Yes, I'm hoping to make it there as well. I've got a few bits going on which may put paid to that. But if I can, I will be in my new roof tent.
Oh, are you going to camp over?
Yeah.
Mate, come on. This is more of a social for us.
It will be.
We don't have to do any work, do we?
Richard Canterbury, who runs it, RCM 4x4, lovely chap. All the proceeds of the show go to charity. There's loads of stuff on. He's got clubs, he's got trade, he's got a big RC course as well for the scale stuff.
I'm keen for looking at that.
You'll love it. It's a really, really nice event.
Last year they made just shy of £9,000, didn't they, of charity?
Yeah. It's just lovely. It's really, really good. I would recommend it wholeheartedly, and I really, really hope I can make it.
What else are you doing?
You'll have to fly the LRM flag.
I haven't got a flag.
We have got flag, banners and stuff. Take the gazebo, go on.
No, this is purely social. So if you are listening to this and you...
Take your pocket full of stickers.
Want to say hello, then come and find me. I'm about. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday.
That reminds me, actually.
Do they have a beaten?
No, I don't think so. They'll have a bar and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there'll be refreshments abound, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah.
Talking of stickers, Isaac Blood messaged me on Instagram asking for LRM podcast stickers, and I told him I'd send him some, and then I forgot. They are on their way. Sorry, I just got busy in your message. You know, anyone who messages me on Instagram will know I'm quite terrible at replying. So, on that basis...
Not that great on email, mate, to be fair.
I'm better on email. So if you have got a question or anything like that, editorial@lrm.co.uk, I'm far more likely to pick that up than I am Instagram messages.
Yeah.
Land Rover Martin, if you want to follow me.
I don't.
Well, you already do, so you're tough. so there's a bit to go at, isn't there? We're busy
boys. I'm looking forward to York. I'm really hoping, because last time I went to Whitby, it rained every single day.
Okay.
And it thoroughly tested my latest camping setup to the max. So this year, I deserve. I would really like some sunny weather.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed it is a good weekend. The last time I went to York Land Rover Show was cracking. Lovely weather.
Really on Stubblefield, nice. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Next to RCM 4x4.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm going there on the Saturday morning and I will leave on Sunday afternoon.
There you go. Yep. So, yeah, if you don't see me, you'll at least see Stevie hassling for a sticker. And
yeah, I need to make sure I take some then.
Yeah, I can sort you out with a bunch before you go. Mm. And be a good weekend. And if you're not doing that, please let us know what you are up to with your Land Rover. We absolutely love to see it. You might even get to star in the magazine in the month in pictures or your Reader's Rovers page. So, yeah, drop me an email.
Or work in progress.
Or indeed, if you've got a project on the go, work in progress.
Do you know what I reckon is a really good idea?
What's that?
I want to revisit some work in progresses from like a couple of years ago and see where they are now.
That's a good idea. That's like, a really
and
good
do
idea.
A collective. You don't have to, you know, just to say, right, where are you now? So if you've ever featured in Work in Progress,
let us
get
know.
Back in touch.
Because some of them, the thing I love about Work in Progress is it's quite diverse, because you get people who have just picked up a first project, like in the one that's in the current issue.
Yeah.
People who are halfway through and they've got like a Defender scattered all over their garage or driveway.
Like
or
me.
Garden. Yeah, like you.
My work is in progress, but it wasn't in progress.
Indeed. Or people who have got the pictures from doing the rebuild but have now finished it. So
yeah,
the first two categories, I would love to get an update. So if you've been in work in progress before, again, drop me an email, editorial@lrm.co.uk. Send some up-to-date pictures and a bit of a story, and yeah, we can get you in the mag, because it'd be, I mean, I'm sure other readers would remember when it was in the work in progress page. So yeah, an update would be awesome.
Well, you could always put a little snippet in on the page as to this is where it was in this issue.
Yeah.
So go back to exact editions and you can read all that stuff.
Definitely. And similarly, if you are just starting out on a project and you want a bit of a morale boost, drop me an email as well and we'll get you in work in progress, because it's one of the most popular pages in the mag.
I really enjoy
it. I really enjoy it. It's great. But yeah, keep an eye out. Go out, buy the latest issue. Get a taste for it, which is on shelves today. And yeah, the usual stuff. Follow us, social media and YouTube. We're over 6,000 subs now. Your latest video is doing really well.
Actually, right. So yeah, I did a video, one of those proper like YouTuber things to do. My top 10 things, or top 10 modifications I've done to my Defender 90. Yeah, people love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's 10 things I've done. Doesn't mean it's the best 10 things, but it's my 10 things. Yeah, it's done all right. I'm quite pleased with that video.
I would be. You've done a really good job on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically a sort of walk around of your 90, isn't it? And you talk about the modifications you've done and why you've done them and what works and what doesn't work. And yeah, it's just a good...
Well, there were 11 things, but it didn't make...
Who's counting?
Yeah, there was 11. There was 10 things there, but there are 11 things on the vehicle that I've done.
Yeah.
I missed a couple of things because simply 10 is a magic number, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that has improved that car, and you can see it on YouTube. So check it out if you haven't already.
We're keeping momentum up. And the next video that goes live might not be this week because I've got to edit it and I've got tons of work to do, but the next video will be a struggle video. So if you like to comment on our videos and say why did everything go so smoothly, you won't say that on this one, because I am a melting heap by the end of it and wrestling seats around the garage. It's very entertaining, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of work. So yeah, I quite enjoy reading the comments that we get on YouTube, positive and really negative, I suppose.
I think what we'll do...
Do you have any negatives?
Not that many, no. We'll get a list of them together, positive and negative, and we'll go through them and answer them live on the podcast.
Yeah. And I promise to read out some more comments from Spotify, and you'll do Apple, will you?
Yeah. Although we don't really get them. We get reviews on Apple. We don't get individual episode comments.
Oh, okay.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah. Well, I shall read some more out. So if you've got any views... or comments about this episode, then share them and we'll read them out.
We love to hear
questions.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think we'll probably call it, and we will see you next week.
Bye for now.